is given him. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Amen. Let's go right ahead and give God some praise. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. He's the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Is he still the first and the last? Is he still the beginning and the ending? Amen. He's still the Lion and the Lamb. Thank you for coming tonight. We're looking forward to a good time in the Lord. And you may have said, well, I don't even know what's going to happen tonight. Well, that's all right. Probably none of us do for sure. This is the first time we've ever done this, brother. Amen. But we do have a plan. It's not random. I feel like it's going to be a good time of connecting with Jesus Christ, number one. Amen. He's the one who is the true and the faithful witness. He's the one who gave his life for the harvest. He's the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's a pleasure just to be among folks who love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Give a hand clap to the Lord. Praise God. We'll let you be seated for a moment. And tonight our theme is lift up your eyes. Turn to your neighbor and say, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Amen. Jesus said, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And Jesus, he is still on the throne. He knows the harvest that is about us. And what a church to be in tonight. Amen. This is a revival church. Are you glad you're in a revival church? Hallelujah. Amen. There's a man of God, pastor, elder, who stands in this pulpit. He preaches Acts 2:38, and he preaches it straight. Amen. Preaches it the way it needs to come across. And souls come to the altar, and I'm excited about being part of this church and just some small part of what God is doing, the great things that he is doing in Pueblo. This is it. We're in the end time. Amen. End time revival is what's happening right now. And we're not looking for something to come down the road. This is it. Hallelujah. The Lord is coming soon. Souls are hungry for the presence of the Lord. Amen. There are those that are seeking. And the Bible tells me that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Just like he rewarded you and I when we began to seek for him with all our hearts. And God will not leave us ashamed, the Bible says. So if you've been involved in any way in outreach, thank you. If you've been involved in Bible studies or bus ministry or Sunday school, let's go on to say if you've been involved in passing out flyers, how about some of those little business cards, all right? If you've been involved in inviting somebody to church, if you've been involved in praying for somebody to come to the Lord, amen, this is all outreach. Amen. It's all it's a teamwork that we're involved in. And even shaking a hand when somebody steps in that back door, first-time visitor, and giving them a smile and a welcome, that is reaching out. And so tonight we're going to do our best show appreciation to everything that has been done, because this church would not be having revival like we're having right now except for the efforts of everyone that's here tonight. But can we take it to another level? I believe we can, in Jesus' name. Amen. And that is the goal. If we can take a step up, if we can see the Lord take this revival to the next level, Brother Elder, that's what we want to see happen. Amen. Amen. And God is able to do it. God has all power in heaven and in earth. They looked at him and said, how are these things possible? And he said, with God, all things are possible. Nothing shall be impossible with God. I believe that, don't you? Amen. That means your neighbor can come to God. That means that person you work with can come to God. Nothing shall be impossible with the God that we serve. Praise God. Amen. This weekend your weekend to become even more involved in the the harvest. This is going to be hands-on. All right, now, hands-on. That means we're going to actually get into the field. You know, Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. Where? Into the field, into the harvest. That's where it's happening. Amen. So good things are going to be happening through this weekend. I just invite us all to tune in to what the Spirit is saying to the church. What the Spirit is saying to the church. So tonight, if you would stand, we're going to... look at a verse in the book of Psalms. Psalm 68, verse 11. We'll be going to a few verses here tonight. I'm going to title this tonight, this time together. This may be some teaching. This may even be a little bit of preaching, however the Lord moves here to touch us and draw us in. Amen. But we'll just title this, Why We Do What We Do. Why do we do what we do in the church and in reaching out to the lost? Psalm 68, verse 11. Why don't we just all read that out loud together? Could we do that? Let's read it. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. I'm looking at the company that publishes the word right here in Pueblo, Colorado. Amen. This is where we want to see it happen. This is where we want to see the seed sown. This is where we want to see the Holy Ghost poured out. Hallelujah. Let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. Oh, God, you gave the word, Lord. Great was the company of them that published it, oh, God. Lord, it's your word. It's your truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your mighty truth. Lord, we're believing that you use every one of us here tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody said in Jesus' name, and you can be seated tonight. Why we do what we do. The Lord gave us something that is a powerful force. The Bible describes the word how is quick and is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. When this word is sown, when this word is placed in a fertile heart, which is the soil in which it can grow, exciting things can begin to happen. When we look at the book of Acts, which is our pattern for revival, when we look at what happened there and we see how the Lord added to the church, and then in, that was Acts chapter 2, and then Acts chapter 5, he added to the church. Acts chapter 6, he added to the church. Then the scripture seems to take a jump, and it says he began to multiply the number of disciples. From adding to multiplying. And even the youngest child here knows, you get bigger numbers when you multiply, right? You start looking at all those numbers and try to figure out where to put the commas. But eventually, in Acts chapter 12, it says the word began to grow. It didn't even attempt to give numbers at that point. It began to grow and multiply. The word of God is so powerful, amen, that it can get out of our control. It's alive. And something that's alive can grow. Amen. And we plant it in a heart that's fertile. Exciting things can happen. Amen. They can come to the Lord and get the Holy Ghost. We plant that word in the right soil and we water it. Amen. And God can give the increase. That's the plan of God. That's the pattern of God. If we will do what we're supposed to do, tell your neighbor, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I didn't even tell you what it was yet. You've got a lot of faith. We'll do what we're supposed to do if we will plant and we will water. The Bible says God's department is given the increase. I like the way Pastor Elder says that. That's God's department. That's not our department. Our department is to take that word and to sow it and to plant it. Can anybody do that? You've already done it, haven't you? Amen. You've already talked to somebody about the Lord. You planted a seed. Amen. You showed them a scripture from the Word of God. Or they've come to church and they've heard the Word. That's happening. Amen. And when we pray and weep tears over a soul, we're watering that seed. Has anybody ever done that? Amen. A member of your family you prayed for and sought God for. Amen. You've planted. You've watered. Guess what? God said He will give the increase. And the Bible tells me this. It tells me that they were daily in the temple and in every house, and they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Daily, they were sowing the Word of God. And then the Bible says that God added to the church daily. Such, do you see a connection there? If we will just teach and preach and plant that Word, amen, and water it like we're supposed to, God can add daily to the church such as should be saved. That's the Word of God. Amen. He said He gave the Word. We didn't make that up. We didn't elect to see that happen. God said, if we'll just do what we're supposed to do, He will give the increase. So why we do what we do? Some of the reasons we do what we do are just to publish the Word. Now, when we think of publishing, we think of printing presses, right? You have a printer at home, or there's one here at the church, and you put the right thing on top of it, or put the right signal into it, and you get a bunch of paper out. Well, David didn't have a printing press, I'm sorry to tell you, who wrote the psalm that we're reading. And it was hundreds, yea, maybe even 1,000 years before that printing press was invented. When he talked about publishing the Word, he simply meant taking it to where it needed to go. Amen. That Word needs to go beyond these four walls. The Lord gave us the Word, and He said, great is the company that's going to take it. Great is the company that's going to publish that Word of God. And there are things that we do just because we're publishing the Word. Just because that Word needs to get from here to there. It needs to go. We don't necessarily, they didn't have necessarily, rather, a mail system in Old Testament times or even in New Testament times. They published the Word eyeball to eyeball, face to face. Amen. It was hands-on. And they got results when they did that. That's not to discount that there may be some tracts that we pass out that will be used miraculously by God. But guess what? If we'll do it the way they did it in the Bible, we'll get the results they got. If we will publish the Word by taking it personally to the person who needs to get the message, God can give the increase. Can we all say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Amen. So, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. I've got to tell you a story, true, happened in California. I just heard the testimony the other day from the man. He was teaching a Bible study in a halfway house type of situation. And the reason he was teaching it there is because somebody that had been coming to church lived there, had invited him to come, and he went to teach Search for Truth, Bible study. And he was doing his best, but he wasn't seeing the results that he wanted to see. And he would question, like you or I might question, well, why am I bothering? It's not seeming to help this guy. And there were other people, it seemed, that, you know, would listen in occasionally, but didn't seem to be really having a result. So he finished the Bible study, said, praise the Lord, and just went back about his business and never saw that man come to church. But years later, this brother that taught that Bible study went back to that same church. And when he went back to that church, a man came off the platform, a man who was in the ministry, came off the platform and shook his hand. He said, you don't know who I am. He said, you're right, I don't know who you are. He said, you never met me, but as you were teaching that Bible study in that halfway house, I was standing out of sight and listening to every word that you said. And he said, because of that Bible study, I'm in the church today. Amen. Is God able to take that Word beyond where we are to a heart that is hungry? Hallelujah. Beyond our ability, God steps in and He gives the increase. And we heard Brother Robbie Mitchell the other day give a testimony, simply praying over his food, simply asking the Lord to, a simple thing that we all do daily over our food and pray. And God used something that we don't even think a lot about to give the increase. So why do we do what we do? It's just because we're publishing the Word. Just because we're enacting it in our lives and taking it to somebody who needs to hear it. Somebody needs to keep pressure on the gates of hell. Somebody needs to rattle the gates of hell occasionally. Someone from time to time needs to let the devil know there is a church. Amen. Devil, you're not just going to have your way. We're coming into your territory. And some of what we do is just to take this gospel into the darkness. Because out of that darkness and into His marvelous light is where souls are going to be brought. Hallelujah. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's true. Amen. It's a fact. The devil's got to back up. All those principalities, all those powers, that spiritual darkness, that wickedness in high places, there's one who is more powerful than that. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's the head of all principality and power. We shall tread upon serpents and upon scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt the church. God, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and against powers, and there's something we have. Hallelujah. It's the Word of God. Amen. It will take dominion. It has power over all the enemy's power. Praise God. Those fallen angels, those devils. Amen. Demons. You know? Some folks shake in their shoes whenever they hear about the devil. He's evil. He's wicked. He is. Yeah. But guess what? It's two for one. If I read it right, Brother Elder, up in the heaven when they were cast down, there was a third of the stars of heaven that were cast down. That leaves two-thirds on God's side, and I'm on God's side. Amen. Amen. So I may come up against the devil every now and again, but there's two on my side for every one that's on that side. Amen. Not only that, the Lord, He's the captain of the armies of heaven. Hallelujah. And He promised me something. Oh, you've got to read this. You have to read Luke 12, verse 8. We won't show it up on the screen. If you have a Bible there, get Luke 12, verse 8. You've probably read this before, if you read the book of Luke, and maybe you saw it. I read it who knows how many times. Finally, it hit me what Jesus was saying. He said, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." You go to the job on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or whatever days you work, and there's an opportunity there for you to say, "Jesus is good to me. God is great." Testify something that God has done. God healed me. And when we confess Him before men, something's happening up in heaven. Amen. It's not just happening down here, but God, He said, "My Father is going to confess you before the angels of heaven." We can get our name known over in glory among the angels just because we're testifying down here on earth. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me some excitement. Because there are some angels up there that are crying, "Holy, holy, holy." But in the midst of their chorus, God says, "Hey, just a minute. That one down there, he's confessing my name. Make note of that. Come over here, Michael. Come over here, Gabriel. Hey, you guys, look right there. This brother is confessing me before men, and the angels make note of what you and I are doing down here." It's because God tells them that that's one that's taken this word and taken my name before men. Next time you get a chance, get some angels on your trail. Hallelujah. Amen. Those good angels, not those ones that used to torment you before you came to God, but God has a plan. There's some reasons we do what we do. Amen. Amen. We need to try the spirits. Well, how are we going to try those spirits? Beloved, believe not every spirit, the Bible said. But try the spirits, whether they are God, because many false prophets are going into the world, right? There's no better way to try a spirit than to just check it out, ask it something. Go knock on the doors. You know, one reason I like to knock doors, we get to find out what spirits we're dealing with. You know, there are spirits that have some strongholds right here in Pueblo. I'd like to know what they are, and we can start rebuking those devils. Amen? Amen? You go knocking doors, you'll find out what devils you're dealing with. Are you afraid? Well, if we have the Lord on our side, I'm not afraid, are you? Now, the devil may tremble when we speak the name of Jesus, but we rejoice at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we go knocking doors. Brother Elder, I was knocking doors one day, and I ran into a spirit. It was all up and down that block. The spirit was, Sunday is my day. It was the Sunday is my day spirit. And I found out it involved more than just them spending time at home. They were spending time at home on the couch in front of the glowing tube. And not just watching anything on the glowing tube on Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening. I ran into a spirit that had colors. And those colors were orange and blue or something like that. At least that block I was on. Some people might take me wrong. They think, well, Brother Fleming's taking sides and putting, you know, and taking advantage. My side is with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And Sunday is not my day. It's the Lord's day. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that should be more important than coming to the house of God on the Lord's day. Amen. This is His house. It's His day. Hallelujah. You know what? I began to rebuke that spirit on that block. And we went out. The Saturday of Christmas weekend. And me and just half a dozen of us. And I know exactly how many doors we knocked on that Saturday. Because we used door hangers made out of candy canes. And those candy canes come in dozens. And we bought two packages. A whopping two dozen candy canes. We just wanted to publish the word. There's a reason we do what we do. We want to publish the word that God gave us. So, you know, in that little group, there were some that were a little more timid than others. And so they hung the cane and went quickly to the next door. Maybe they won't know I was there. Does anybody ever do that? Confess now. All righty. And some of us knocked some doors. Well, you just don't know what's going to happen. God knows what's going to happen. Amen. He took those 24 candy canes. The doors we knocked, we didn't see anybody come from that neighborhood. But while we were knocking those doors, somewhere about a half mile down the road, God was knocking on a door. Amen. The reason we knock on doors is not necessarily all because everybody we see is going to come to the Lord. But it's because God is working with us. Amen. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And He gives the increase. And half mile down the road, God was knocking on the door of a backslider and his family. And that Sunday of Christmas week, he came to church. And he was hungry for God. And we started a Bible study with him. And did we ever have a time? Amen. He had a son that had never been to the kind of church that we were in up there. That was a Pentecostal church. But he came to church, and it struck a hunger in his heart. That young man prayed through to the Holy Ghost in their home during a Bible study. Amen. Because of some folks that were hanging a few little candy canes on some doors, simply doing what they could do to publish the word, God gives the increase. Amen. We ought to be able to praise Him for that right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the giver of every good gift. And every perfect gift is from above. Amen. We're down to about number four here. If the Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, We're the ones that are going to put the go in the gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L, right? We're going to be the ones that are the ones that go and preach this gospel to every creature. Now, when we talk about every creature, you're kitty, kitty, kitty. Or no, it's not Rover. It's not the squirrel, right? It's everyone who has a soul. And everyone who's living and breathing has a soul. Amen? Amen. They may be tall, they may be short. They may be young, they may be old. They may be high, they may be low. But he said, preach that gospel to every creature. How's that going to happen? We're going to have to take this word and publish it. Amen. We're going to have to take it wherever we go. Without the help of God, this gospel will not go where it needs to go. But the Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, come. We're getting involved with the plan of God when we go and take this gospel. And if we're looking at Matthew 28:19, sometimes we get all caught up in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If we don't have that down yet, maybe we ought to have another Bible study just on that. But who knows what the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is? Say it again. Amen. It's Jesus. It's that simple. Amen. It's a good scripture. And before it says to baptize them in the name, it says, go ye therefore. Now he makes that pretty personal. He makes that you and me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We call that what? What do we call that verse? The Great Commission. The mission is to go into all the world. If it's a co-mission, that means we cooperate with that mission. I heard what you said the other day, brother, about submission, co-mission. Co means together. Cohesive, right? That means things that stick together. Use glue because it keeps things together. Collaborate. That means we're going to work together at this. So the Great Commission involves us working together with the Lord on the same mission. And that mission is to take this word and publish it among all nations. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things that I've spoken unto you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Now, there's a revelation right there. We were teaching on this just recently. And a sister who had been in the church for, I'll say decades, I know at least, she got the revelation. Brother, you never know how it's going to happen. She said, I never thought that God goes with me when I take this gospel. It's a co-mission. I mean, he's going to send us out and say, wish you the best. If you have a shipwreck, have a good night out there in that deep, you know. He didn't leave Paul out there. He won't leave you and I out there either. Amen. He's going to go with us. He'll be confirming the word with signs following. That's what the word of God tells me. There's a reason we do what we do. If we want the Lord to be with us, just take that gospel. He'll be right there. God, I wish I knew where you were. We'll take that gospel and you know where he is. He's right there. Hallelujah. He's side by side with his church that is going forth. His church is going forth, obeying and fulfilling the Great Commission. Wouldn't you like to feel like you were fulfilling the Word of God? I like to think that if I lived back in New Testament days and was able to be where John the Baptist was down there baptizing, I think it would just really be something to be able to pull out the Bible and read and say, you know, there was one crying in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord. Read that and say, that's him. That's John the Baptist. He's fulfilling that scripture. He's the one it was talking about. And right there he is, in the flesh. In the flesh. Exciting. Well, in the flesh, right in front of us here tonight, are people who can fulfill the Word of God. Jesus said, go ye, therefore. Brother, you can fulfill that word in the flesh. Somebody can read that scripture when you're knocking their door, taking that gospel, and they say, that's him. That's the one the Bible was talking about. When it said, go ye therefore and teach all nations and take that gospel to every creature. Amen. We can fulfill the Word of God. And if there isn't power in that, I don't know where you're going to find the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. God will be with us. Let's clap our hands to the Lord and thank you for that. He said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Look at Revelation 3, verse 8. Revelation 3. We're in the end time. We ought to be reading the book of Revelation. And because it's telling us of many things that are coming to pass. And there are some things that are coming to pass that we sometimes just miss. Because we aren't looking for it. We didn't know we were supposed to look for it. But Jesus, in Revelation 3, verse 8, said this to the church. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, there's something about that scripture where he says, I have set before thee an open door, that really stands out to me. And that's the very first word of that phrase. He says, behold, I have set before thee an open door. In other words, behold means to look, to observe, to check it out. All righty? Behold, we're going to have to look for the open door that God set before us. It may not look the way we thought it should look. It may be that the open door that presents itself before us in the year 2013 is a lot different from the open door that was there when you and I came to the church. Amen. Folks used to look different, act different, live different. We are in another generation. I don't know what you want to call this generation. There was a Generation X at one time. Remember that one? And then there was the baby boomer generation. There was a Generation Y for a short period of time. What are they calling this generation? I don't know. Amen. But the open door that we see today, somebody who has an open heart, is that open door, could have alcohol in its breath. You say, that person is a sinner. Perfect. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. That's an open door. Behold, I set before you an open door. That's not something to discourage us. That's something to let us know, I found it. This is what Jesus was saying. There are open doors about us every day. There are folks that are lost in sin. Amen. Just like you or I were lost in sin. And it took somebody with some guts and a strong stomach to come and talk to me. Because I was a tough nut to crack. And in the day that we're living in, we're going to have to have our eyes open. Amen. We're going to have to be prayed up and prayed through. Because the open doors that we find may be something that will be repellent to us. But it's the hand of God, amen, that has set before us an open door, amen. It may be a little kid coming to the school bus with a runny nose. And it may be the parent that's standing in that open door, still with a hangover from the night before. We don't know where it may be. It may be those that make regular visits to the dispensary in our day, thinking it's okay. Wherever it is, however it is. He said, I have set before you an open door. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We need to open our eyes. This is the end time. This is the last day's harvest. It looks different than it did years ago, but it's still God's harvest. Amen. He is the Lord of that harvest. And who knows where you are come into the church of God for such a time as this. that God will use you to reach somebody in this generation that has needle marks on their arm. Amen. That has their hair dyed two or three different colors. Open doors. I'm talking about open doors. And such were some of us. Amen. Thank God He washed us. He sanctified us. Amen. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. He delivered us. If He can deliver you, I'm sure He can deliver somebody else. If He can deliver me, I'm positive He can deliver somebody else. Amen. Just next time somebody comes to this altar, we got to gather around and pray. And pray the power of God down. Hallelujah. I love the altar services at Christian Growth Center. Amen. Amen. There are no altar services like happen right around here. It is exciting. Praise God. And God allows us, helps us to see the open door. How are we going to find that open door? We're going to be publishing the Word. Amen. We're going to be talking to people about the Lord. That's how we're going to find the open door. There may be one on your job. She may have come to work with bruises on her face the other day, like happened at my job. Not wanting to talk. All you have to do is say, "How are things going?" That's all I asked this particular lady. She began to weep. She said, "They're going to take away my kids." I said, "There's one thing we can do, and that's pray." And that's pray. And guess what? 2 weeks later, how's it going? I still got my kids. It's going to be all right. God receives the glory. He's the answer. Amen. He's the one who answers our prayers. He's the one who gave us the open doors. Hallelujah. We need to behold the open doors that God set before us. Praise God. God has given us an opportunity in these last days. Oh, my. We sometimes think back and we say, as we're reading the Bible, "Oh, if I lived in Paul's day, we'd have had revival." Man, if I'd been alive when Peter was living, we'd have had revival. On a shipwreck, you might have had revival. Thrown in a jail cell, well, that's what happened to Peter. Paul, many times. We sometimes gloss over the reality of what happens when this gospel is taken forward. Let's look at something. Let's look at Acts chapter 22 and verse 10. And I think we may have read this sometime before. Let's see if I can get this thing to come on here. How's your Bible? Is it coming on okay? Mine even makes noises. Push the right buttons and it'll read for you. You don't even have to know how to read. Acts 22, verse 10 says this. As Paul is recounting his conversion experience and how the Lord told him, spoke to him after he was struck down and struck blind on his way to Damascus. Here's the event that he's talking about in verse 10. He said, "I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said unto me, 'Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do.'" Have we ever talked about the appointments that God has set up for us? Appointments. This man was a new convert. He didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. He was still called Saul, not Paul. He hadn't been buried in the name of the Lord. But God began to tell him, in your life, as you live for God, God's going to use you. As a new convert, He showed him things. He said, "You're going to stand before kings. You're going to go into the land of the Gentiles, the land of darkness. You're going to take my gospel to places that nobody else will ever be able to take my gospel." Well, what we like to see is the appointments. Because he did stand before kings, right? Agrippa, Festus. And we don't know all that he probably was allowed to witness to. He did go to foreign lands. He went to Rome and And he went to Philippi, and he went to some of those other places. And we see those appointments, but what we would like to be able to say in our minds is there are no disappointments that go with the appointments. But guess what? Disappointments actually seem to fuel the appointments. When Paul went down to Philippi, you know why he went down there? Because he saw a vision. He said, a man said, come on over and help us. So he goes down there. We're going to have one of those appointments that God set up. Ooh, I'm going to go down there. We're going to win somebody. Well, he cast the devil out of this girl who was a damsel who was possessed with a spirit of divination, a little palm reader. And, we're having a time. But guess what happened? Disappointment came when they took him and Silas. They put some lashes on their back. They threw some chains around them. They dropped them down into the lowest part of the prison, and they closed the door, and they put the key away, and they turned out the lights. How you like that for an appointment? That's what you call disappointment. But Paul and Silas knew from experience that every appointment has a gate that you have to go through. And some of you here have had some disappointments. And you said, I guess I'm in the wrong place. I guess I'm doing the wrong thing. You might be just standing at the door of what God is wanting to do. Hallelujah. To reach for a lost soul. Amen. Because for every deep disappointment, there comes an exciting time when God can do something mighty in our lives. God can do something mighty that we've been dreaming about. There may have been something God showed you when you came out of the altar the day you received the Holy Ghost. He may have given you a dream that night and showed you you're going to be used mightily of the Lord. You may have been in a prayer meeting years ago. Don't put that on the shelf. Amen. Amen. God showed you that. Praise God. What about those disappointments? You know the cure for every disappointment is an appointment. Paul said, I can forget those things which are behind because I'm pressing for the prize. There's a mark. Amen. It's the high calling. There's a calling beyond the disappointments of this life. And if you've never had a day where things just didn't go right, you must not be part of the human race. There's something wrong. The toast burnt at breakfast this morning. You going to let that ruin your day? You have things to do. You got to get the kids to school. You have appointments to keep. You have to go down to the doctor. It's church tonight. Whatever. And by the time the end of the day, who cares about burnt toast? I don't want to live with the smell of burnt toast in my nostrils. I can't say that things are always easy in life, can you? Amen. But I do know this. If we never tried and failed, then we're doomed. Amen. There's a little saying. I'm going to read it to you here because this has such impact. It just simply talks about you may be disappointed if you fail, but you're doomed if you don't try. Just sit in a corner somewhere. What kind of life is that? God did not rescue us out of darkness and bring us into this light, but for to show forth His praises. Amen. To this generation. That's the reason He brought us out. Hallelujah. To fill our hearts with praise. To give glory to the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Amen. There may be good days and there may be bad days. We're all going to have those. But Paul said again, I forget those things which are behind me. Amen. Because there have been so many good things happen in front of me. Even in a time. Guess what? You know Paul spent a day and a night in the deep. There's a whole chapter or two in the Bible that deals with his shipwreck. What a devastating experience in his life. But you know what he said when he recounted that? He just said, I spent a night and day in the deep. But there was a man who was healed when he got out of that water. Amen. Amen. He was able to preach to kings when he got out of that water. Hallelujah. The glorious things that God gave him as a result of that far outweighed all the weight and all those things that came his way. He said, oh, there have been many things that come my way. But he gave glory to God in all those things. My, my, my. Maybe that's what we need to hear tonight. It could just be that we're focusing on not the appointments, but we still have the smell of burnt toast on our minds. Just can't get out. Can't get away from. God has a plan. And if we will operate in His plan, those disappointments become nothing but something that gives glory to God. We'll be able to say, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations. It may bring tears to our eyes. There may be some sleepless nights, but God can receive the glory. Amen. God can be the one who is exalted and is magnified. Hallelujah. Through every season of life. Praise God. Can we just stand together tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I don't want to live there in the past. Did you like what happened the other day when somebody did this or that to you? When you got out on, did you like that when you got out on the wrong side of the bed? Then don't live there. Why would I want to stay there? I didn't like it. I'm going to go for something better, aren't you? There is something better. Amen. It's the appointments that God has set for us. For God's people, there is a remedy and there is a solution for every one of life's difficulties. Because those difficulties do nothing but open doors for us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the times of our deepest disappointment can be the times when we're closest to God. He's right there beside us. Those are the times when we're just broken, maybe, just humbled. God uses broken vessels, earthen vessels, to take this glorious gospel. Publish the word. Publish the word. Amen. Thank you, brother, for playing. Let's just pray a moment or two here. Let's pray and talk to the Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I love you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for your glory. Thank you for what you're doing in the church, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I thank you for the word that you gave us. God, I'm so blessed to be in the church. So blessed, oh God, to be able to talk to people. Tell them how good you've been to me, Lord. You've never failed me, God. You've never left me, oh Lord. Oh God, you've been with me every day. I couldn't make it on my own, Lord. You carried me. You've lifted me up. When I didn't have the strength, Lord, you gave me. When I didn't have the words, Lord, you put words in my lips, oh God. Oh God, oh God, you're that light. You're the one I love, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, oh God. Somebody like to visit the altar tonight? Amen, amen. This would be a good night to talk to the Lord. Visit with Him. Your glory.
oh God, it's for the harvest, Lord. You're the corn of wheat that fell into the ground and died. Much fruit was brought forth. Much fruit was brought forth, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, O God, O God. I lift you up, Lord.
Difficult time. I can hear the cry.
Not my will, but thy will be done.
Can I?